What I'm going to talk about today is this era, as Steve said, that is a really crucial decade in the 19th century, but one that is often overlooked. Now, unlike the 1860s, there's no major wars happening in New Zealand. There's no gold rushes. Unlike the 1880s, there's not the Depression that happens then. And unlike the 1890s, there's not the liberal era, women's suffrage, and Richard Seddon. But like all of those decades, it does have a man with a beard, because that was pretty standard for politicians in those days, is Julius Vogel. And he's one of the very few New Zealand politicians who's actually got a time period named after him. Historians often talk of the Vogel era. And this is shorthand for what was basically a massive Think Big development program, which he launched in 1870. It was funded by borrowing from the UK, and it was designed to build public works, especially railways, and to assist huge numbers of British immigrants to come to New Zealand. And if you think about the story of the 19th century in New Zealand between, say, the treaty in 1840 and the end of the century, as being a story about how New Zealand was transformed from being a Maori world into a Pākehā world, especially in the North Island where most Maori lived, the Vogel era, the 1870s, is really perhaps the crucial point in this process. During this period, there's four key factors that really combine to come together to make this happen. One is people. And immigrants, we're talking about immigrants almost entirely from the UK at this point. And it's the sheer weight of numbers that helps transform New Zealand. This is a chart of immigration from 1840 up to the First World War. And you can see these twin peaks there of gold and assisted immigration in the middle of the 1870s. And perhaps even more importantly, if you look at the purple line of net migration, you can see in the gold era, a lot of people come in, but also quite a lot of people leave, because gold booms are sort of boom and bust, and as the gold boom finished, people moved on. In the 1870s, most of the people are stayers. They're coming here to settle, and they stay here. So you can see in the terms of the purple line, this is the peak of immigration to New Zealand in that whole 70-year period. So that's what we're talking about here. They're doubling the Pākehā population in that decade. Second factor is building infrastructure, of which railways were a prime example in that era. Also roads and telegraphs, improving port facilities. And this is really expanding the Pākehā economy. It's linking up coastal settlements and beginning to create a unified colony in New Zealand. That infrastructure development is closely linked to a sort of centralising impulse in New Zealand. So the 1870s also see another crucial event in the 19th century, which is the abolition of the provincial governments. So after that, what emerges is a really strong central government in New Zealand. And that's very much related to the public works scheme that I'm going to talk about. And the fourth factor is the accelerated purchase of Maori land. As we get more people coming in, at the same time, infrastructure is opening up new areas, and there's a stronger central government emerging. All those factors combine to create demand for more land for settlement, and so the government moves to buy more Maori land, and railways are integral with that process, as we'll show later. So taken together, those factors make up what we've called a peaceful conquest, particularly of the North Island, which begins in this period. It's certainly not completed in this decade, but it begins then. And really it's the process of completing what was begun earlier in earlier decades, and particularly with the wars in the 1860s, which are obviously a military conquest. This is the next stage, which you could call a peaceful conquest. So who was Julius Vogel? He was born in London, and his family were Jewish and Dutch. The Vogel name is Dutch. Nothing to do with the bread makers, but they were also Dutch. So he came from Britain initially to Victoria in Australia, where there was a gold rush. And he worked as a journalist and newspaper editor. And then he followed the next big gold rush, which was in Otago in 1861. And he came to Dunedin and founded in 1862 the Otago Daily Times, which is New Zealand's oldest daily newspaper. Now some of you who came along to, I think when Steve was talking earlier about the Mangatapu murders and you know the influence of the gold rushes, obviously gold rushes were disruptive events that attracted criminals, they attracted opportunists who wanted to make money, but they also attracted a lot of really talented people, and also people who didn't necessarily go out in the wilds and dig or pan for gold. They were involved in service industries, like in Vogel's case, journalism. Another one in this period was Richard Seddon, who also came to New Zealand, in this case to the West Coast, from England via Victoria and Australia. Vogel really is one of the key New Zealand politicians before Seddon. And they're quite different in a lot of ways, but Vogel was equally ambitious, really, as Seddon. He gets into Parliament quite soon after arriving in New Zealand. In 1869, he becomes the colonial treasurer, which is what is today the Minister of Finance, in a government led by William Fox. Vogel later becomes Premier, which is the Prime Minister, himself, 1873 to 75, and then again for 7 months in 1876. He then goes back to Britain. He comes back to New Zealand in the 1880s, and from 1884 to 1887, he's a treasurer again and plays a really important role in a government headed by Robert Stout, which is often called the Stout-Vogel government. That's how important he was. Then he goes back to the UK, and he never comes back to New Zealand again. He actually only lived in New Zealand for 18 years in his life, but he left a huge legacy in New Zealand.